What do you make of what the NCAA could do about it or what the reaction has been to it?
Well, different levels, right? So the first is I'm not surprised, right? Because we had what happened in September with the arrest, and people expected it to be a big deal, and it kind of went away for a little bit. Then there was the report last week that there's up to 50 schools, and Hall of Fame coaches should be nervous and things like that. So you're kind of expecting, okay, who and where, and so you find that part out of it. The reaction to it is, I think, that nobody's surprised by who's listed. I don't think people are surprised by the players that are still in college or the ones that are gone. But I also think a couple of other aspects. One, a lot of the schools have come out today, Duke, Michigan State, Kentucky, and said, "All right, you know, we've looked into this. We've talked with the NCAA since the report came out this morning, and our guys are eligible. They're not going to sit." So, you know, that says whatever that says, that they feel pretty confident that maybe the report's either not true or that, you know, there were no rules violated, which, you know, if the report were true, then that can't be the case. And then the other part to it is, and this was brought up to me by John Christmas from Big Ten Network today. This was not my thought, but, you know, a lot of runners for agents are not necessarily most up-and-up people. So is it possible that, you know, $1,000 listed on an expense report is not actually $1,000 given to a player, but it was $1,000 that went into his own pocket? Sure it is. So I think, you know, my initial response today was nothing was going to happen to the school in the immediate because there has to be an investigation, and there's no guarantee that those agents were funneling those players to the schools. It could be that the agents were just paying money to those players. So nothing in that aspect. My initial thought was the only thing that could happen in the immediate was that those players that were listed who are currently playing could be ineligible. But you know what? I don't know that you prove that, and the schools seem to be standing behind the players. So with the exception of San Diego State and Malik Pope, who for now has been provisionally suspended and barring an investigation. So I don't know that anything really at the moment is going to come out of it.
Well, and so many, I was going to say, Jason, and many times, at least a couple of times I've heard of, you know, somebody that's a hanger-on says, "I have influence with player X." And sometimes you're paying a friend or paying somebody else that has their hand out, and the guy either didn't authorize it or didn't even know they were doing it sometimes. I'm not saying that's a high percentage of the time, but you're right. That could happen.
Yeah. Look, there's the bigger picture here, right, which is what has to change with college basketball. And I think most of us agree that the one-and-done rule has got to change. Now, that's the NBA level, and how that changes we'll find out. But I also don't believe that that's the only thing that created this culture. I think a lot of people want to just pin something on one thing, and it's not that. I mean, there were agents paying players money for football, basketball, golf, frisbee golf, disc golf, whatever. there have been agents paying players forever and underground money, and it's just different ways. And now it's the AAU and the shoe companies and all of that stuff. So, you know, Mark Emmert comes out with his statement, which is whatever it was, about how, you know, this proves that we now need to have fundamental change. No, this is just the next in line of a story that's already something they know that you need to have fundamental change. But the fundamental change, I'm not sure if it's within the sport. Because is it possible that the sport and the tournament and all that stuff is too big, too powerful, too valuable to the NCAA for you to actually have fundamental change? I don't know that you can. So whatever, you know, hopefully what they come up with when they have their quote-unquote sweeping changes aren't just going to be Band-Aids to fix the problems, and we'll find out.
Talking college basketball with Jason Horowitz, college basketball guy over at CBS Sports Network and Westwood One. So to kind of move beyond the uncertain future of the game and talk more about the uncertain future of this season and some of the top teams in college basketball, what does the picture look right now with these one seeds that seemingly lose on a weekly basis down the stretch of the season?
Well, I mean, there's two one seeds that aren't losing, right? I mean, I guess Villanova's lost a couple of times, but Villanova, for the most part, hasn't been losing. And Virginia, for the most part, hasn't been losing. You know, you've got to slip up against Virginia Tech in overtime, but that's about it. I mean, those two teams are pretty stable. I don't think they're going anywhere as one seed. And, you know, then you've got probably a combination of Xavier, Kansas, Michigan State, maybe Duke, and Purdue fighting for that other one seed. You know, I know Auburn's in there as well, but I, me personally, especially with their injuries and some of the other losses they've taken down the stretch, I wouldn't have Auburn in there. But I make that it's a it's a volatile situation, but it's also one that is somewhat predictable. Like, if Michigan State or Purdue wins the Big Ten tournament with the season that they've had, and remember, the Big Ten tournament's early, I think one of them is going to be the one seed. And if Kansas goes on to win another Big 12 title, which they're certainly heading that direction, and I think they're going to be a one seed. So it's, to me, in that realm, and, you know, we'll see what happens if that doesn't happen, because then there's Xavier and those are the other teams we mentioned. But the one seeds, to me, are fairly set. You know, Virginia, even if Virginia loses early in the ACC tournament, they're up by 3.5 games on the ACC. It's never been close.
Yeah.
The ACC has never been a close race. They're set. Villanova, despite all their injuries, they've been the most consistent team in college basketball this year, except for a game or two. They're set. It's the other four. But even within that, I think it's fairly cut and dry.